how are things going as new parents? I mean, obviously you both are working for the same business and you both are getting similar amounts of sleep. And as a father yeah. of three daughters who, you know, now are in high school and college, I can still remember the pain. 10 years of no sleeping through the night because we had kids 2 years apart.
Yeah.
How are you guys doing keeping Fletch Digital going despite the fact that you're exhausted half the time?
Well, we have help. We don't claim to do this on our own. We're at the moment, we're working with three different contractors, all of whom have taken on extra work for the last 3 months, the 3 months that we have been parents. So that has been an incredible support. We wouldn't be able to do it without the extra help. And you, Todd, works more than I do.
Yeah, we've been, it's definitely been hard, I would say. It's, you know, lack of, I mean, the first 6 weeks, I think nothing could ever, like, you know, you hear stories about what it's like, but nothing can ever prepare you for how difficult it is to, you know, get through the days with 1 or 2 hours sleep. Yeah. And so it was...
The first month in particular was very, very hard.
But we had spoke with our clients in the lead up to it, and we kind of let them know what we were going to, you know, how we were going to be working, and that we were going to have some help from people, and we managed to do it all. I don't know exactly how, but we got through it, and it's certainly been a learning experience. I think being a business owner, I think we probably could have been more prepared, I would say, and I think knowing now what it was like, we would definitely have done things a little bit differently, but we made it through, and we've kept our clients happy throughout, and we've got some fantastic contractors, like we said, that have been doing some excellent work. And it's been great. And I mean, actually, I feel quite fortunate because we're sitting now in our home office here, and we actually have our own studio that's about 10 minutes walk away from where we live. So we've either been working here or working short stints there as well. And I think it's actually been, I feel so fortunate to be able that we've been able to be with each other throughout this whole first 3.5 months. Because I know that especially a lot of dads miss out on being able to see the little things, which I've been around for.
Todd hasn't missed any little things.
Yeah.
Well, you know, a lot of that, I'm going to say, and I'm guessing here, but it's an educated guess. A lot of that's happening because the clients who've been attracted to you know, like, and trust you. And a lot of that started by getting to like you via your Instagram feed.
This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Nonfiction Brandversity. It's a free Facebook group dedicated to the art and craft of personal branding. And we'd like to invite you. Just search Nonfiction Brandversity on Facebook and ask to join. You're in, guaranteed. I can't wait to see you on campus.
America, because of who we are, we like to tell the world what to think and what the best practices are and what's going on and what the next greatest thing is. I want to just lay a question out there and say, what is happening in your neck of the woods in terms of social media, marketing, Facebook, etc., that we might need to know here in the United States of America?
It doesn't usually happen that way. We're usually a couple of years behind the US. That's kind
true.
Of how we roll.
I would say and I think we might have mentioned it when we last spoke with you, but Instagram have, and this is quite a big thing too. Instagram have hidden the likes. You can't see the like count publicly now on the Instagram feed.
Right. That just rolled out here in the States.
Yeah. I read that. And people, and
we've had that for a couple of months.
Yeah, a few months. And I think people were going through panic here when it was beginning to happen. And I'm just following some social accounts that were talking about it as it was coming to the United States. And people were doing the exact same thing, flipping out like it was the end of Instagram and that sort of thing. And I can say, I think I talked about this in my podcast as well. It's like... It was such a big deal for a lot of people, but it really hasn't made it hasn't made much of a difference to how people engage on Instagram.
Yeah.
I would definitely say that likes are down across the board. People aren't liking as much, and where that, to me, that's an indicator that people were just liking stuff because it had likes. You know, and to me, that is just such an empty interaction with someone, because like, do they really care about the content, or are they just liking it to go with the crowd? And that's what was happening. But what we found is people are commenting the same or more than before. So I think that what is actually happening now is people are looking at content and they're not seeing the noise around it that, oh, this is really popular or this has hardly got any likes. Why should I care about this? So they're looking at the content and they're appreciating the content for its value, for what it is, for whether it resonates with them. And I've found myself scrolling through my Instagram feed and it just feels like such a more personal experience now. It feels less noisy. And I think that's probably the best way to describe it, noisy. When you see how many likes something has, now that is irrelevant. All I care about is what the image is and what the caption says and who it's from. And that's what I care about now. And so I think that everyone in the United States, it's okay. Instagram is okay. And you're going to have a better experience on there. I guarantee it.
I think it actually pulls Instagram back to what it was all originally about. So I mean, Instagram started out life as a photo sharing app, you know, back when Facebook and Twitter were the big players in the social media game. It was a photo sharing app. It didn't really hit the mark as a social media app straight off the bat. And, you know, I think that taking away the likes, or not taking away the likes, but taking away the, you can see 79 yeah. likes on this picture or whatever, it brings it back to kind of a magazine experience, like a glossy magazine experience where you're scrolling because, Instagram want to remove that mindless scrolling. They want us to be engaged while we're scrolling. They want us to look at the pictures and appreciate what's in them and read the captions and not just scroll and like and scroll and like and scroll and like. So I think it's really positive thing. I actually wrote a post about it on our Instagram page too.
Yeah. It was quite exciting to be able to experience that. And then watch the US go through it as well, because we're like, usually it's the other way around. Usually we get everything.
It was such a big deal here. And then it just happened and everything was fine.
The sun still came up, the rain still fell, nothing really changed. Although, and I will say that I think a lot of the noise was coming from influencers who lost a huge metric that they used to get people to pay them more.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
The dirty little secret of Instagram has been people either do pods where they get together with other influencers and they each support each other regardless. They hit that like button just to get the numbers up, or they actually buy likes.
Yeah.
I mean, all of a sudden, so a lot of that cry, that hue and cry you heard coming from the United States, that was a bunch of people whose businesses went on fire, exploded because they no longer had a product, which is, wait a minute, I used to sell likes in bundles of 500 for a certain amount of dollars and now I have no product.
Yeah.
The fact that those likes were bot likes or fake likes doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, castles made of sand.
Exactly.
You're building something that is, not real. True influencers, true people that put effort into their content and they've worked over time to build up an audience that appreciates them, that really looks to them for what content they're sharing and what they're talking about. They build that trust that we were talking about last episode. They're the ones that they're fine. They're doing great. They're doing normal because when brands choose to work with them, they can look at their stats from their Instagram business account. They're able to show them, demonstrate, this is what my audience does and this is what resonates with them. And, that's why I'm a valuable partner to work with to talk about whatever it is. But when you build that castle made of sand, your business is built on buying likes and just falsifying this kind of thing, like what are you doing? You think that's not going to last, and that's you're either get found out or they'll just make this minor change to the platform that really makes the experience for everyone on there so much better and really takes away those people that are trying to game the system. I think that's a really interesting point that you bring up. It's that they've been able to, with this one, and it's a minor change. With this one minor change, they've been able to almost clean out that dirty business of buying likes that are just a waste of money, really.
Yeah, always a waste of money.
And it's the opposite of what, the best Instagram feeds are, which is an authentic feed of somebody's life and what they're doing and how they're doing it and all that stuff. I agree with you that single change was like getting rid of, like being a burger restaurant that was serving fish as well. When they finally say, fine, let's get rid of the fish, let's focus on burgers, all of a sudden, boom, they're back to what they were, which was making the best burger.
Yeah.
Stick to your knitting, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it.
So, Alex, you're the art side of Fletch Digital. What are you doing mostly with your clients? What do you do day to day with your clients that is opposite what Tech Boy is doing?
Well, so these days I manage a lot of our organic social media. So that social media management.
Oh, but organic is dead. Everybody tells me organic is dead.
No, it isn't. Organic is not dead. Organic will never die. It depends on who you are and how you put your message out there. But organic social media is your opportunity to cultivate your community online. If you only put money into paid ads, which are amazing, and that's where most conversions will happen realistically. But if you only put money into paid ads, you don't have the community to start with. And social media is an absolutely incredible opportunity to build a community. We've never had that before. We've never had the opportunity before to speak directly to consumers.
Well, and I know you guys occasionally listen to the podcast, and this week and the week before was Mark Schaefer, who I know you guys saw.
Oh my God.
Is there two episodes yet? I think I've only listened to one so far. I'll have to listen to the
other one just came out. What is today? Is today Monday? Yeah, it's Monday. It just came out today. Yeah. I don't
even know. Oh, okay, great.
It's on my list to listen to today.
Well, it's American Monday, Sydney Tuesday.
That's right. Yeah.
He actually said something really interesting, and I won't try and quote directly because I can't remember exactly what it was, but he said something along the lines of, customers are now our marketing department.
Yeah.
And it's so true. I could not agree more. It's definitely the time of the customer. Look at that.
Look at those.
Marketing Rebellion, all tagged.
Yeah.
Well, what we're talking about is the fact that I have Mark Schaefer's book, Marketing Rebellion, and I've got it flagged with a bunch of Post-it notes, and they're laughing at how many Post-it notes are in this book. But literally, that's the amount of goodness that's in that book.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the things
his,
I love.
Yeah, his keynote at Social Media Marketing World 2019 was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where I can't believe like it's taken this long for someone to say this stuff. Like,
yeah. Especially at the end of several days of people saying the opposite.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I love Social Media Marketing World mostly for the people I get to meet, like you two guys. And are you guys going to 2020?
We are
booked.
We're excited.
And River's coming along as well.
Oh my gosh, that's very exciting. Yeah. Well, we have got to put some time on the calendar because I got to see you guys and talk about everything. But when Mark did his closing keynote and a couple of slides went up there that I know we all resonated with, my favorite was the personal brand is the company brand. The angels sang from heaven as the clouds parted, you know. But he was also on the podcast talking about SEO. We were talking about SEO. And I've always had this, I'm going to say hate relationship with SEO because I understand why it's necessary, but I hate why it's necessary. And I've also been a big believer in cross-posting. Like if I'm posting to my blog, I'm going to post it to a Facebook group. I'm going to post it on LinkedIn. I might take it over to Medium. I want to get it to as many different ponds. And the way I think of it is each of those places is its own pond. And there are individual fish within that pond that never leave those ponds. And if I'm only posting on my blog and the fish are Facebook fish, they're never going to see it. And so my SEO is get my name out there as much as I can. So people go, oh, he's a decent guy. They see me in person. Oh, he's a decent guy. You know, and it's a multiplying, oh, he's a decent guy effect. And you can't do that if you're not fishing in all those ponds. Meanwhile, SEO experts I've talked with say, oh, but Google penalizes you for having duplicate content multiple places. To which I say, I don't care because the content I want people to know, my Google's keyword search is DP Knutton. Those are my keywords, DP Knutton. And if you can spell Knutton because you've seen it enough times, that's what I care about.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a kind of a contrarian take, but Mark was saying basically the same thing, that if you're fighting for the one or two or third spot on the page, you're going against giants. And it's he used the term, it was like a junkyard dog fight. You know, how are you going to win that? You can't. So instead, put out quality content that attracts eyeballs, relationships, you know, things like that. And I'm like, oh, thank you for saying it, Mark, because I can say it all day long, but no one will listen to me. Anyway, listen to the Mark Schaefer episodes. I think they're episodes 64 and 65 of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast. But back to you guys.
Yeah.
You guys deal with SEO a little bit, right?
Yeah, we do a bit of SEO. Yeah. I think SEO has had a bad rap, I think, for a long time, where when you actually get down to what it is, it's such a true, important, valuable human thing. Where initially SEO was people, you would get emails from people telling you that your website could be ranking on the page one, and they would use every dirty trick in the book to get you there. And gradually over time, Google weed those issues out. And I think a friend of ours has talked about the person selling SEO as the, you know, dark sunglasses kind of slick guy that you feel like there's, you know, there's something untoward about him. But what,
from like a whodunit.
When you actually get down to what it is, it's you know, a big, I mean, SEO has got a lot of different moving parts to it, but at the core, it's about good content. It's about good human content.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what a lot of people don't understand. And so, yeah, it just comes back to being able to talk about what your customers or what the people, your audience might be interested in, thinking about what they're searching for, and then writing about it in a human way.
Yeah.
Well, I think you hit on it right there. And that has been my beef, because in the previous episode, I kind of mentioned how social media is heavily tech oriented. That's been my problem with it, that it's always been about the tech, the algorithm, the SEO, and it lost a lot of the humanity, because the really killer app of social media was the humanity, the human connections that can be made. Let's face it, I'm talking to you right now, and you're in Australia. I'm in outside Madison, Wisconsin, USA. You're on Tuesday. I'm on Monday, for crying out loud. We're a day apart. Doesn't matter, because social media makes it possible. And again, we're doing this via Zoom. So if people are wondering, how do I talk to you guys? It's via Zoom for free.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, you're new parents with one child. I'm an old parent with three children, two of whom are in college. Free is the most important word in my vocabulary, because all my money goes to them. And I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah,
but here's
absolutely.
The thing. I'm able to have a real-time communication with you guys in Sydney, Australia for free. Mm-hmm. And social media, every single social media channel has a free level that gives you at least 70% of what the platform's good at. You know?
Yeah.
So
and
if
it's
you
not
aren't,
dead. It's not
oh,
dead.
No. If you aren't doing it, you're leaving opportunity on the table.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep.
And I think what a lot of people don't consider is that, yes, when you do paid ads, you can get great return on investment. And that's where you see the dollars that you invest turn into dollars in your pocket. And that's fantastic. And it is really, really good at doing that. When you have a good organic social media presence, you not only, like what we were talking about last episode, about being able to talk about yourselves, your business and your brand in a way that that resonates with people and that they will engage with, you better educate your customer to then prime them when they're ready to reach out with you. They're ready to do business with you because they already know everything about you. You can actually leverage your engagement from an organic social media presence in social media ads for like even stratospherically better return on investment than just going out there and doing social media ads cold turkey. So, I mean, you know, just we've got an e-commerce client at the moment who have a really fantastic following on Instagram, and we're able to, you know, I mean, getting into the technical side here, but we're able to create an audience out of people that engage with them organically and send them specific Facebook ads or Instagram ads that are on point with what they've been engaging with over the last short period. And we're getting return on investment of like 70, 80 at the moment for purchases for those products that they've organically engaged with.
Yeah.
So
with that Instagram page, with that organic following community, however you want to sort of put it, I mean, it is a following, but with that particular client, they really do have a very strong community. They tell us what they're interested in. We put the content out there and it comes back, and we can learn from the organic content what they're actually interested in, because it's product-based, you know, we get information back and okay, so people are interested in these sort of products at the moment and we can deliver ads based on them.
And the key thing is that yeah, everyone hears, oh, ads, you know, I'm getting sold something that I don't want. But these people are engaging with it on organically on social media. We're just showing them ads for the products that they're interested in. And we're not forcing them to buy them. They're turning up and they're buying them because they've seen them in action, you know, organically on Instagram. They've read about them. They've read about the different aspects, the different things that go into this product, and they love the brand already. They know about the brand, and we just serve them an ad that, you know, hits them at the right time, and they're ready to go. They're ready to, they want to make that item part of their life. And I think that that's just a, you know, that's a small example of how, and this is something that we always talk about. Alex and I both have different expertise on the side of social media marketing, and that's where the two halves make a whole. Organic and paid go together. They work together. I never recommend people do paid strategy without organic. It's something that I think that, like Alex said, you can learn from it. You can get a better results from your paid ads as well.
We don't necessarily manage an entire social media presence for each of our clients, just to clarify. We do ad work for clients that we don't do organic social media management for, but we don't do ad work for clients that don't do organic social media. So whether we do it or they do it themselves, we don't really want to do ads for a client that doesn't put anything into their organic social media, because it's a little bit of a, I mean, it's not a waste of time, but it's definitely not the most effective use of anybody's time or resource.
Hey, nonfiction branders, did you know I wrote a book? Well, I did, and it's called Rotoma, the ROI of Social Media Top of Mind. I wrote it with my colleague Spencer X. Smith, and it's all about Rotoma, an acronym that means Return on Top of Mind Awareness. Best-selling author and NYU Stern School of Business professor Scott Galloway called it a book that starches the fluff from social media and helps managers allocate capital and find the unicorn among unicorns, ROI. And Chief Content Officer at Marketing Profs, Anne Hanley, said, "This isn't just a practical way to think about the return on social media. It's also a spot-on, accurate way to reframe your social efforts." Check out all the 5-star reviews on Amazon by searching Rotoma, R-O-T-O-M-A. Pick up your copy today and start building your personal, professional, and small business brand the Rotoma way.
Well, I'm going to change the nomenclature a little bit because we've been talking about organic and paid. I want to go back and call it what us old brand guys used to call it, brand advertising, which was the foundation, and then retail advertising, which was about making the cash register ring. You know, so let's say Levi's, you know, blue jeans, Levi Strauss. Everybody, even in Australia, knows what Levi's are, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? Because they've been brand advertising Levi's and making it kind of Western American sexy forever. And they're still doing a fantastic job at that. Now, that doesn't mean they can't do a, hey, 25% off this week only for this specific style or whatever. That's retail advertising. So I see your head nodding. So I'm hoping you're agreeing with me that you have your organic brand foundation that allows you to then have vertical. I'm using my hands, people. Sorry, this is audio. But you've got your vertical retail sales that are, you know, you can have very specific programs throughout the year, but you never, ever have a period during the year where you aren't laying that organic brand foundation.
Exactly.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. And you guys are doing it again with your Instagram feed. I'm talking with Alex and Todd Austin of Fletch Digital, a digital marketing agency in Sydney, Australia. How can people connect with you on social media?
We're on Instagram at Fletch Digital. We're on Facebook, Fletch Digital. Those are our main platforms that we're active on at the moment. You can also find us on LinkedIn. We're not as active there right now. I would love to get to that point, but to kind of concentrate.
Yeah. We're also on Twitter, but we just push content there from Facebook as well, because, and this is a big thing as well, you don't have to be everywhere.
Yeah.
You just have to be where your audience is. And again, we always say, focus on what platform feels right for you and get that right. Then start to think about something else. So you don't have to be everywhere. You just have to be where your audience is.
Yeah. And you also have to be on the channel that actually fits you best.
Yeah, exactly. You
know,
yeah.
I know people have built their brands on Twitter because they can come up with those really witty epigrams that get people's attention and are totally shared and all that stuff. Well, guess what? I also know people who've done that similar thing on Instagram because they've got the visual thing down and then are able to, you know, pull people in via the comments. And I also know people who only do LinkedIn because they work in the business to business sector. You don't have to be everywhere, like Todd said. You have to be at where your audience is and where your voice is strongest. And by voice, I mean the way you do things. If you're not a strong writer, try a podcast. If you're not a great on a podcast, maybe you can do video or vice versa. Find out where you are strongest and then do it. Because the only thing you're doing right now, if you're not doing it, is leaving opportunity on the table for your competitor. And that's just a waste.
Yeah.
And actually, one thing to add to that is it is social media. You do have to get onto the platforms where you're prepared to get on them and be social.
That's right.
It won't
engage.
Back if you don't give it.
Engage.
It won't give back to you if you don't give it something to return back to you. You know, I mean, I love scheduling tools. I love being able to organize, like Instagram, especially, it's such a visual platform, being able to organize content, however often, a week at a time, 2 weeks at a time, whatever, being able to schedule it out to make sure it's going at the most optimal time for your audience. But you have to make time to hop in and have a look at the comments, see what people are saying to you and respond back to them. And then those people, that's the basis of your community. So then hop over to their pages and give their pages a little love. Not like a pod, just giving back what the platform is giving you.
Exactly. And, you know, if someone comments on something you do and you comment saying thank you, you know, maybe adding to that, you begin a conversation. One of my big techniques is make every comment a conversation. Like I feel I failed if I comment on someone's thing and there's not at least three more back and forths on that comment chain. Yeah. And every time you do that, your relationship with that person gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And I can prove that. In a couple of weeks, you're going to hear from Neil Schaefer, not Mark Schaefer, but Neil Schaefer. And I've met him in real life once. And that was after we had kind of created a social relationship and we have a mutual friend. And then I get him on the podcast and he's like an old friend. And I'm like, dude, we only met once. Or I'm thinking in my head, dude, we only met once, but cool. If you're saying I'm your friend, I'm all for it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, with social media, we get the opportunity to have relationships that we definitely would not have otherwise. People that you might have met otherwise, like with you, we met you at Social Media Marketing World. If not for social media, we wouldn't have the friendship that we have now because, you know, we have an ocean of time between us and...
Yeah, and a physical ocean as well.
Exactly.
Or several, I think. You know?
Yeah, several.
Yeah. That's that asynchronous communication that I think is so you know, prevalent in the web that we use at the moment, being able to communicate with people that you meet, you know, even just for a second, or someone that you've just come across in the comment section somewhere, you're able to leave a comment and then have them respond in their own time when they're ready to. And that's, we're forging relationships and connections with people that would not be possible if it wasn't for this amazing thing, social media.
Well, Todd, you just did a term, or you just mentioned a term that I want to make sure everyone understands, asynchronous communication. Can you give me a quick definition on that?
Being able to respond not instantaneously, like text messaging is synchronous, so it happens in real time, but asynchronous being forums, for you know, blogs, you're commenting on a blog post, that sort of stuff, where you can just leave your comment there and other people can comment on it in their own time. It doesn't have to happen immediately. And that's what we see on Facebook posts and Instagram posts as well, when you in the comment section there.
And if you need another really great example of asynchronous communication, consider the fact that Madison, Wisconsin, right now, it's 5:16 p.m. on a Monday, and you guys are Tuesday the 17th, or I'm sorry, this is the 18th. So you're Tuesday the 19th. And what time is it?
10:16 a.m.
Yeah.
So we're sync right now, but it's not unusual that I would respond to your posts off by 6 hours or 8 hours or even 12 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
That is asynchronous. But the funny thing is, by the time you look at it, You don't know it, that I put it up there 12 hours ago. It seems like just a conversation with a pause.
And you think about how when we first met, we met at the bar the first night, welcome drinks, and we were able to have a short conversation there. But since then, we've been able to converse in our own time when it's convenient for us and build our relationship over time, where, you know, the times that we have to meet people in person are so short and so quick, and there's so many other, you know, other things happening at conferences that you don't really get a sense of who that person is, or you don't maybe get to talk about exactly what you wanted to talk about. But with social media and being able to communicate on our own time, we're able to have those really valuable conversations. So yeah, that's one of my favorite things about being on social media is, you know, having those connections, talking with people.
Right. When you think about it, asynchronous communication has existed for a long, long time. We used to call it pen pals, where I'd write you a letter, I'd send it to you, and then I'd wait 3 weeks if you respond at all. Well, now you can have that pen pal experience in a whole lot shorter time and face to face via tools like Zoom or Skype and et cetera. So if you're not doing social media to build your social persona, your social brand, to let people know who you are, what you do, and how you do it, you're leaving opportunity on the table. And that's where we're going to leave it for this episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast. I'm DP Knuton for the Nonfiction Brand Podcast, and they are
Todd
and Alex.
And we're Fletch Digital in Sydney, Australia.
Oh, it's always my pleasure. I'll talk to everybody next week. Bye-bye.